Hi, this is Lori Moylove, and I have a special guest on the Limitless podcast with me today. This is Michael Avriel, and he, since 2011, you know, have been fostering artists and a community around songwriting and on a global scale. You've also literally walked, which I thought was crazy, 4,000 miles of Canada over an 8-year tour called I'd Rather Walk. But I thought it was crazy amazing. And you kind of, your past experience has been in the exercise and wellness side of coaching. And now you help build communities around songwriting. And one of the cool recent events that definitely inspired me was this teacup challenge. And I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit more of your history and how, like, getting into songwriting and the challenge kind of stemmed for you.
Well, first of all, it's awesome to be here. I think this is just such a cool concept for a discussion and a podcast. Yeah. And you're the perfect person to be running this ship. So happy to be aboard.
Thanks.
Yeah. Well, so in terms of, I guess you're saying, like, where did the creativity kind of start?
Yeah.
Well, for even just when I was a kid, I guess I'm kind of revisiting this through pandemic. I thought I was more of an extroverted kind of person, or someone who, like, really thrived on being in groups and mm-hmm. being around people all the time, mainly, I guess, just through choosing a path of music and performance. You're in it all the time, you know, but that doesn't necessarily mean that's kind of how you recharge or how you actually kind of stay afloat energy wise. I always remember as a kid being a lot more solitary and, like, mm-hmm. really focused on things, like whatever I was doing. And not that it was very important things. It was like Lego or Meccano or, like, drawing or just, like, looking at the bugs in our backyard. Like, I'm one of those people that appreciates and likes spiders. Like, I don't know, lots of people.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know about these spiders.
Most don't. In some ways, that, like, it's kind of funny to say, but they're kind of like the closest thing that I had to a pet.
A pet backyard spider.
Or like the little tiny jumpy ones that would be on the walls.
Oh, wow.
Everyone else would freak out about them, but, like, they're actually the most fun to play with harmless.
Yeah.
But they would, like, look at you and then they jump between your hands or your fingers.
Wow.
I thought that was the coolest thing. So, like, I always got really, really focused into stuff, but particularly drawing. Like, mm-hmm. drawing and art, that kind of stuff was more of my realm for a long time, where I got pretty strong, and this is largely through my mom's influence of being able to replicate pictures or just mm-hmm. like seeing a picture and being able to copy it and reproduce it and so on and so forth. And, like, that's something she's done all her life in wow. the ways of, like, window painting around Christmas time.
Oh, that's, you know, cool. Like,
that's kind of a fun annual thing, and she had a really good skill with that. But she is super savvy with fabric. Like, she was, like, a sewer in many different ways, for anything from drapes to clothes to, like, home decor to blankets to, like, you name it. Like, that she's always been very crafty, and now she's, like, a card maker and she does calligraphy and she watercolors and, like, does all these things. So, like, a fine art, that kind of a stuff creatively really came from her, and I think just some of her tendencies. But also on my dad's side, my dad was really creative. He's more the musical side. That's where that mm-hmm. comes from. Like, he was a songwriter, and he had a real gift with lyrics in terms of being able to be very poignant and very concise and insightful. And at the same time, sometimes have, like, a little bit of poking fun at things, or, like, a little snarky kind of hilarious streak, and or just a comical twist. And that was just kind of his character. But he could really paint an experience very strongly in his songs, more so than he could actually verbally express. And so anyway, like, both of them had their realms that feel like kind of got fused in me. And so both of them always were just encouraging of throwing stuff my way that was creative. And so like, if I started showing interest in stuff, they would just kind of like kind of feed that flame. And
yeah.
And oftentimes I didn't bounce around between a lot of different things either. Like I kind of would glom onto something for a lot of years and just stick with it. And so it's funny to notice, like, that's just always been there.
A fusion, like you kind of became this fusion because it's kind of both of your parents' influences that kind of got you into doing what you do. And you're a songwriting coach, and your previous career path was like fitness and coaching in that realm. And do you feel like that kind of correlated into like moving into with the songwriting coaching, like because you've coached others, you kind of have a better understanding of like when, you know, do 10 more reps or like write 10 more songs, right? So I'm curious if there is some correlation to that.
Yeah, well, funny enough, like the other big thing that I was involved with was sports. And like, I got my first coaching job when I was 15.
Wow.
And in essence, I've never stopped being a coach of some kind for the last almost 25 years. So wow. it's been neat to see it in different forms of like being an athlete and coaching athletes to like working with people in motivation and health and wellness through being a personal trainer and that kind of a thing, to then working with creatives and people who are doing artistic expression in the form of music mostly. It's all the same, you know, like a lot of it is really kind of what drives you and what's the human kind of personal flavor in that, but also that it needs to be, in order to be successful or to kind of cause a good change, it's got to be fun. And it's got to be something enjoyable, because when it's not, I don't think it ever really promotes any kind of a great or lasting shift.
So true. And something that I found really interesting in one of your recent episodes, because you also have a podcast, so our listeners, be sure to dig into Michael Averill's podcast. It's called The Songs You Love, correct? Or right. Am I saying it? Write Songs You Love. And on one of those recent episodes, you kind of talked about starting over, and you actually released a song on starting over. Can you kind of dig into that and the creative process of how that song came to form, and also like just the idea of like as a creative starting over and kind of having that fresh canvas if you're painting or a poet, blank page?
Well, it's kind of ironic, I guess, is like, because the idea of, you know, your Limitless show.
Yeah.
That a lot of creativity, I think, and I've changed my wording on this. Like, I used to think a lot of creativity is driven from having limits. Of like...
Oh, yeah, confinement.
This is I started changing the way I talk about it, because like having a limit feels like you're restricted, and that's a negative thing. You know, like... Or that it's a focus on what you don't have versus what you do. And so like I did a podcast not too long ago, an episode on this, of like, just to look at it as a structural opportunity, which sounds like a funny, fancy way of doing it. But again, it's just like looking more, it's like a structure isn't a limit. It's actually just a narrowing focus or like a guide. So that's essentially, ironically, that Start Over song came up 2 years ago. It was January 1st of 2020. For whatever reason, I felt like putting a structure on myself of trying to write a song in the time it took me to make and drink a cup of tea.
Yeah. And that's crazy amazing.
Well, you know, I've kind of kept going through phases of like, I wonder how long I can write a song. And you're like, how quickly can I write a song? And it kind of kept going narrower and narrower and narrower. And I kept challenging myself step by step by step. And I got down to a cup of tea or like, 15 minutes or whatever. But it just happened that was at a time where I was like really going through a big mental transition of switching some kind of just different roles that I had in the community and industry for a long time. But also like, coming to the end of my walking tour and just like the identity piece around what that meant and that was going to be ending it just felt difficult. It felt like it was loaded, and to be like, well, now what? You know, like, who am I now once this thing is done? And I find stories fascinatingly creative too, and like how they interact in our lives. And I think that when you feel like you're coming to the end of a story, it's a bit intimidating. Mm-hmm. Without structure, you know, it's like if you don't know, feeling like, okay, I'm not sure what's happening next. And it's fine to be there. And I think it's good to celebrate. But I think if you go too long, it can feel like a bit of a floaty void that you're just not sure what to grip on now. And you don't really know who you are anymore. But I was feeling in that kind of a state. So like just implying that little structure of the teacup thing really made me just channel into what I was feeling. And that song popped out and I was really, really happy with it. And I sat on it for a couple of years just because it, for whatever reason, like I couldn't, it's the only song I've ever had this happen where I felt I couldn't really do it justice at the time in a recording. And like I worked with somebody else on it who did a really cool job and like approached it in a really neat way, but it just didn't fit for like what it was all about for me. And it took me 2 years of really sitting on it. And this next teacup challenge, the thing that I officially did
in
January, to actually make me finish that. Cause I wanted to finish it for that day. Cause
that's amazing.
That'd be the kickoff of doing this with other people.
So that's cool. You kind of touch upon like for creatives setting deadlines, and touched on that with the teacup challenge. And can you kind of touch on that for creatives, like in, you know, setting that structure, like what goes behind it? Is it just like you pick this date and that's the target, or like, how do you go about putting that structure in play? Like for a creative, you know, we can get stuck in our own little world and be like, you know, hold on to a song for even more than 2 years. So I guess what kind of advice and would you recommend to some of our listeners listening in kind of creating that structure?
Yeah, I think there's two really key things that you can use right away that are really easy ones to look at are time and tools. And so like time, like you're saying, the duration, that's the big one. That's the big one of just having some reason, some zone that you have to finish something by. Like the teacup thing is a very short one. Sometimes it, like for this song I just did in January there, it was January 1st. I'm like, I just got to get it done and released for that day. Cause this is meaningful. Like this, this is going to signify like a lot of things anyway. So attaching meaning to the time is a good thing too. I think like something like that felt really special and significant for me. I think anytime you can be beyond set yourself something, if you can somehow link in somebody else, like my friend's birthday is coming up on Thursday and I'm like, I want to like give myself a deadline to finish this so I can send it to them because I want them to feel good. You know, like
that's cool.
There's a third, there's an extra layer to that that makes it more motivating to complete beyond just yourself. So like the time is one, the tools is the other thing of really just starting from one and then building up. But like literally if it's a song, sometimes I'll do this to just be like, okay, what's the one tool I'm going to focus on using? And so sometimes I'll just be like, can I write, can I write a song with just a shaker? You know, like,
oh, I want to hear this song right now.
I'm going to sit and write a song with a shaker right now. Right now. I'm going to sit and write a song with a shaker. It's going down right now.
On the Limitless podcast. Hey. Hey.
But, you know, it's like, if it gets a spot like that where it's, you start laughing and it's fun, and you just have that thing, then it's worth it. You know, like that.
No,
that's creativity, I think, you know, like that's the essence of like it being something that drives you in a fun way. So yeah, I think minimizing your options initially is good. Mm-hmm. So if you just choose one tool, I do that often. Actually, I usually just start with like, what's the one thing and how far can I get with that one thing? Sometimes most of the time I get a whole completed song out of that. But the benefit of doing this or a technique, like if you're a guitarist or using music, like use one chord. Stretch it as far as you can, you know, like see how much you can do with one chord, because you'll hit a point, you'll hit a threshold where you're not really sure what to do, what else to do. And that place is a brilliant place. I think that's like the amazing spot where you almost get mad. You're almost like, I wish I had another bloody chord to use right now. Like, why can't I use another chord? But if you approach it that way, usually at that time, when you've done it enough, you kind of start just intuitive having the ideas of what you want. Like you're not just like, oh, I wish I could just have any chord. You start to get to know exactly the chord you would want. And you're like, please let me use the G. Because I know this is just going to sound good. And I think that's a different place to come and just to know what you want to add to it out of a place of like, this is going to make it better, as opposed to just throwing stuff in for the sake of there being a lot of stuff in it.
Yeah.
It's more intentional. So anyway, there's something about like having fewer tools to build, to just get even ideas going. And like, it's kind of the continuum of simple to complex. If you start complex, you just don't really get traction on anything. But like, once you start with something, one little thing, you then start feeling what you can add that makes sense.
Wow. And something that resonated with me was you mentioned intent, your creative intent. And I guess, can you go into that process of like, you know, when you're starting a fresh slate, you know, how do you position yourself with that creative intent? Like, you know, okay, like maybe you're writing a song about joy, like, and starting, I guess, what is that process of creative intent?
Yeah, well, say if joy was the topic, a lot of times I'll either just like try to access something for me personally, like when's the most recent situation that I could draw from, or is there somebody that I could ask that question to that I'd actually really like to know their answer? So a lot of times I reach out to people that I think, I think this person would have a really great response to this question because I know this just happened in their life, and or not. You know, maybe it's someone I haven't talked to in a while, and I'm just like, who doesn't get to like that be asked that kind of a question? Because I don't think we reflect on that, really looking at other than the obvious things that we think joy is attached to. Sometimes they're not the most conventional answers that you hear. It's like,
right.
So, and I find that interesting. I find that really inspiring to hear little different twists on what you think maybe is the response that is going to be coming.
Right. I definitely gained that on the teacup challenge, which I definitely was a participant of too. And I was wondering if you can kind of touch on, you know, what the challenge was and how it stirred and stewed that creativity.
For myself or for everybody?
For yourself and everybody.
Well, there's something kind of fun when you include other people. And I think that's the other aspect of like what makes something with others linked in more motivating is now you're on the hook. You know, it's like you can't really ditch on other people, especially when you're organizing an event for other people.
Right.
Like, where the hell did Michael go? We thought we were doing this thing. It puts more of a pressure on you to show up. It puts you in a space that you can't really let it, you can't let people down on that because they're actually, their progress is relying on you because you've stated that you're running the ship on this, you know? So I do that a lot because I find it helps me. That's a major way I've noticed for my creative or most things that I do. Like when I can link myself strongly in groups like that, then I end up doing a lot more.
Yeah.
So, and for what I do too, like I've always had a big value on kind of, if I'm going to be somebody who's going to be trying to encourage and support and help other people learn songwriting or just like how to express their stories and who they are, but songwriting happens to be the venue that I use. I never want to lose my activity in that. And because to me, like that feels like that keeps me current, that keeps my voice still relevant in that. And like, I'm actually oftentimes because of that actively really searching and trying to poke holes in things and like be led by people's questions of what they're struggling with on top of what I've experienced or what I've gone through to keep that going. Because most of my career as an artist in the industry and other things that I've been doing have really been about that kind of a strategy of when I started touring. I remember before I did the first tour, everybody I talked to was like, oh, like everybody loses a lot of money on their first tour. You're going to play for a bunch of places. Like it's going to be miserable. You're going to eat crappy food. You're going to like lose everything. You know, like it's like, then this is everybody's response to like that first tour. And I'm like, really? Is it actually like that? You know, is people cramming into a car and going across whatever, you know, like there's all these stereotypical things. And so anytime I hear something like that, I'm always, it perks my curiosity. And I think maybe that's a form of the creativity of being like, how else could this be done? And so, yeah, I just started doing a lot of other things at that time as a result. Like I recorded a really simple album for myself on my laptop, just live off the floor, not really knowing what I was doing, but ended up then just burning that album on blank discs and Sharpieing them. And like, I sold thousands of those.
Wow.
You know, like that ended up being my thing. And, but it had a big, it had an idea behind it that was a puzzle you could interact with. Like I got really into this thing, but anyway, on travel, yeah, I just ended up taking the Greyhound bus a lot of places and finding like, it was kind of neat because at certain times, if you learned some funny things that they had in their system, like if you like booked a ticket on a certain time and a certain day, you could literally get like fares for a dollar.
Wow.
And I got a bunch of those at one point. So literally I was going across like provinces, like massive long distances for a buck to go and perform in these other cities and other areas of the country. And oftentimes I was staying at either family's places, extended family or friends from college or anybody really, people that liked my music and I got to know along the way and started playing like house concerts.
That's cool.
As a result of that, often pretty much every single time, like I'd usually have a place to stay. You know, and like it would be really fun just to like participate in that and like really see someone's lifestyle and learn from them, you know, like what do they like to cook or like what if they're working and I'm staying there and like I could then make them dinner or and do like a fun recipe from my side of things, from my background. So there was kind of like this creative sharing of like just life practice. But again, overall, it's like my first tour I actually did surprisingly well. And then I came back actually earning way more than I did was learning where I was living. You know, and I was just like, why am I even staying here? Like, when it seems like everywhere else I go, that the reception for what I'm doing and the music and like people are buying a lot of my albums and they're like, and this is actually as a cost, isn't really costing me anything because I keep being able to stay with people and I keep actually being able to just like offset things. So I eventually just kind of gave up where I was living. And I had some other opportunities come up to travel with certain projects to go to like Nepal and China. And when I came back from that, I'm like, I'm not going back to living at a place. I'm just going to keep touring. So, but again, it was just like being, having the creative thought to be like, how else can this be done? Do I have to like play these kinds of places? Do I have to travel this way? In Canada, I don't know if it's still going to carry on or not because of COVID, but for years they had, with the train system, they've had an exchange program in a way where you can perform on the train and exchange for your ride across the country and just be able to stay in a really nice cabin car kind of thing and have food provided. And yeah, like that's all the travel cost of going across the country gone. And, you know, like not only that, you're meeting people, you're having a really amazing experience with like what you see and like people are there from all over the world and the stories and sharing that happens is amazing. And so, yeah, lots of people that I've met there have stayed friends or I've played in their homes or sometimes in other countries. And, you know, I did that trip 11 times.
Wow. That's amazing. Something that I gauge from you is kind of building a sense of community and creative community. And I was wondering if you could kind of go into that, building this creative community together and accountability and how you go about doing that.
Well, I'll quote, do you ever read anything of Victor Wooten?
No, but now I want to.
He's based just out of Nashville. He's an incredible bass player, a musician. His whole family are just next level music people, that's to say the least. But like he's most known for his bass playing and like his work with Bella Fleck and the Flecktones. But anyway, he's an author and he's written a few books, and like these books really capture him and his family's belief on music in general. And like, it's more of a spiritual kind of approach to music, and just like the different elements of music that don't often really get talked about. It's just a really, really, it's a, like kind of written as a fictional story, but the principles of music and playing like that way are something that really hit me hard when I decided I was going to do music full time in 2011. This is like the first thing that really entered my life was this book showed up in a bookstore that I just randomly walked into, and there was, and I didn't really know anything about them, but I got this book. And anyway, all that to say, there's a part in this book that talks about, you know, it's like, if you, there's these three levels of things. It's like, if you want to do something for yourself, like that is to benefit yourself, whether like people call it law of attraction or whatever those things are, just your positive thinking or intentional thinking, that stuff starts to show up, you know? So, but if it's like, if it's just for you, then like the way that they put it in that book, it's like all of the forces or whatever that exist in you kind of like work to make that happen. You know, some, whatever happens, happens or not. But there's another layer of it. It's like, if you seek to not improve just yourself, but to improve music, like music as a being and an entity, then it's like all the stuff in you, you know, revs up to be driven that way, but so does the force of music. It just amplifies things on a bigger scale. And then like the third level of it is, if you look to do with whatever you're doing to improve just the overall quality of life, then not only do you have yourself and music, but the forces of whatever works and magic, whatever you believe in life, then that'll be there, and that'll be that much more powerful. So just some stuff I've had happen in my life has, especially thinking of that, of being like, okay, yeah, like I'm a singer-songwriter and I'm talking about these things, but could I do something with this bigger that maybe would be helpful towards everybody involved with music or music itself? And like, could that then be a vehicle to actually help people in their lives in some kind of way? Some crazy stuff started happening for me after that, you know, and I, so that's where we kind of talk about like the group accountability, is I always kind of like, yes, have the things I want to do, but every single time I think about something that I want to do, I'm trying to attach, what does this do to keep like a good spirit of music alive? And like the kind of an essence of like really engaging with that as a, in a playful way and a meaningful way that also involves other people, whether they're musicians or not, you know, whether it's like, it's just kind of utilizing it all to see where you can make connections. And I think that's the biggest, that's the thing. That's the main thing right there, is just like all of that stuff works to just strengthen connections. And I think that's what we need more of all the time.
That definitely,
that's a renewable resource right there that we, I have made a point of like trying to like do my part in a constantly.
Yeah. And I can definitely tell that with the amazing group of people you put together with your program, you know, writing the songs you love, and you also do some coaching, and you have sessions and stuff. My one question for you is, with creativity, I ask all my guests about, what's this one word, if you had to coincide with creativity, what would your one word be?
That's such a tough one.
I know.
I'm leaning more to curiosity, I guess. Yeah, I think curiosity is a big one, for the sake of like, there's so much we don't know, you know, and I think that's the beauty of creativity, is like the fun of it is discovery. Maybe that's the other one, you know, maybe that's another word, is that there's always a way, I think, in the creative process to discover something new, which means you've learned something, or like you've had a new experience, and all that kind of is its own little solar system of words, I think, that exists for me for creativity. But yeah, I think that's when it's at its best for me, is like, if I can say, I can tell you exactly in anything what that moment was, or what that series of moments was in something. And if it's not, then I don't really remember it as much. But I usually don't stop something, or I try to like throw myself into a situation or a practice that mm-hmm. makes me do that. So mm-hmm. I have that experience so that it feels like I did it and it feels good.
Yeah. No, that's totally true. I love your word curiosity, because, you know, especially as creatives, we're curious, we're tinkering around in any art form or any platform, we're always kind of tinkering. My one question is, our Limitless listeners, where can they connect with you if they're inspired by your story and maybe they need a songwriting coach or, you know, want to work with you? How can they connect? Because it's all about connection and curiosity here.
Yeah, there's a few different spots. I've kind of split my creativities into about three different channels now, but through the one I'm being most active with right now is the writesongsyoulove.com mm-hmm. and the various social media stuff there. Like there's Instagram and there's a Facebook group, and that's one of the places where it's been really fun. That's where I hosted the Teacup Challenge and where people can engage with each other. And I wanted it to be a very active, engaging place for people just to try. And like, almost it's kind of like being out for recess mm-hmm. in a way of just like that kind of a spirit of it's fun. And but also just like looking at how is the songwriting process meaningful for people and purposeful. Mm-hmm. There's also other people that aren't writers there. Like there's authors and poets and a variety of people that do sometimes contribute some stuff in there with challenges that I chuck out, which is fun. But yeah, that group is really fun. You just have to find it and just like answer the questions to come into the group. But yeah, the workshops and stuff that I do, I'll post up there from time to time, but they're up on the website. And
okay,
the podcast is on all the different places. Like it's on that website, but also Apple and everywhere you can hear things. But I'm excited actually recently to have launched like a newer alias. And it's not so much an alias, but it's more to do from the production work that I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I'm an avid wearer of mixed match socks.
Yeah.
I've been for over 20 years, and like I have a hilarious sock shanty song about that topic. Anyway, that ended up becoming the name of like my production company is Mixed Match Socks Productions. so yeah, I've been launching that and doing a lot more producing of other artists in terms of their albums or stuff. Some of them are, yeah, just doing any kind of recording or session work and that kind of thing.
So that site, what's the site for if they want to connect with on the production side again? Can you repeat that?
Yeah, so it's Mix, M-I-X. Mm. It's all one word, Mix Matched, M-A-T-C-H-E-D, socks, mm-hmm. like socks, the normal socks, there's no X or Z or anything, and then productions.com.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you so much, Michael, for being on the podcast here at the Limitless podcast. I know a lot of our listeners will have gained so much, whether that's, you know, being accountable, joining groups, also being curious, right? Keeping that creative curiosity and carrying it with intent with their creativity and all that. So thank you so much for being a part of the podcast. We so appreciate you. Thanks so much, Michael.
An honor. Thanks.